Ah, good morning. Good morning. Have I told you lately that I love you? Well, I do, and I'm sure glad you're joining me this morning for Bible study. It's Wednesday, and we are continuing in our series in the book of Exodus, the God who reveals himself in times of stress. And we're going to be taking a look at, I guess we're in chapter 2 today. We're going to talk about the results of your roots. That's today on the Panic Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Well, it is, let's see, it's a gorgeous day. Just looked outside the window. It is still bright and sunny, and there's not a cloud in the sky. Probably it's going to be close to our last good Indian summer day, I think. We're going to see a distinct cool down coming in the next couple of days, but it's going to be a good day today. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday. Let's get started. Before we go any further, you might want to read Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 25. So, as I like to say, hit that pause button, read those verses, and then start us up again. And years ago, how many of you remember watching Roots on TV? Those of us of a certain age will remember when that came on. Alex Haley wrote, a truly intriguing book called Roots, and he claimed it was autobiographical, and of course, we all know that it turned out to be mostly fiction, and if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but some of it was even plagiarized. But it was definitely good fiction that teaches us a very important and valuable lesson about a person's roots. If you can slog your way through the book, and if you could watch the miniseries, Alex Haley made a very strong case for the fact that a person's heritage will always affect his life, for good or bad. And as we look at the life of Moses, I think we need to pay attention to and remember his roots. He was born in the home of a Hebrew family of the tribe of Levi. Circumstances caused him to be reared, however, in the house of Pharaoh, that is, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Our heritage affects our lives and is often the reason why we live and think and interact with the rest of society the way we do. So let's take a look at the result of the results of Hebrews' religious upbringing. The account of Moses killing an Egyptian discloses an important insight about his life. It literally serves to identify, to illustrate the fact that Moses identified with the Hebrews, that his loyalty was with them. Exodus 2:11 says, one day after Moses had grown up, That's why commas are so important. he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. Notice that his own people. He's already identifying himself as a Hebrew. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. No one is unaffected by all the background influences on their lives. And Moses is a very interesting character because he came under the influence of two distinct backgrounds. In chapter 2 of Exodus, Moses wrote about the account of his birth. And it's a very, very modest account. So we'll go through that, but then we'll have to look elsewhere in the Bible to kind of fill in all the blanks of Moses' account. So let's read the first three verses of Exodus 2. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for about 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Just an interesting thought. It says, when she saw that her baby was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. What if he wasn't a fine child? What if he was like a homely child or something? Would she still have hid him for 3 months? That's a question that we'll have to ask when we see her in heaven. But it's so humble. Well, it is. I wonder about things like that. So humble was Moses that he didn't even mention his parents' names. Now, he's going to tell us later that they're Amram and Jochebed, but here he doesn't mention their names. Why? Well, they were just ordinary people, slaves of the state. And Moses wrote that he was a fine child. Well, what that really means is that he was healthy, and he had a powerful set of lungs. He could cry at the top of his voice. Now, he doesn't tell us much about his very early days, but he does tell us how he survived the Pharaoh's mandate to have all the Hebrew baby boys drowned in the Nile. Verse 3, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the river. Now, obviously, Moses is a baby here, so he didn't know what was going on. So Moses got this information probably from his sister, who stealthily kept an eye on baby Moses as he gently floated down the Nile. And it's ironic, and remember, God loves irony, that Pharaoh's instrument of death became the very thing that saved Moses' life. But that's very often how God works. He takes the thing meant to harm his people, turns it around, and makes it something that will bless his people. Well, baby Moses floating down the Nile was rescued by, of all people, Pharaoh's daughter. Another brilliant stroke of irony on the part of God here. And he would be reared in Egyptian culture. Acts 7, 21 and 22. Here we get the fill in the blanks part. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him, now listen, and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was powerful in speech and action. Now, without a doubt, the Egyptian environment was a very strong influence on young Moses. Yet Moses was also influenced by his mother's training, and she taught him that he was a Hebrew. She told him of the faith of his ancestors, and this training obviously became a very powerful influence. Moses was quite literally a man of two cultures. And you'll recall that Pharaoh's daughter had Moses' own mother essentially do all the work in raising him and actually paid her for her efforts, which was another brilliant piece of irony. But at the same time, as the book of Acts informed us, as Moses grew, he was educated in the finest schools in all of Egypt. Now, education is valuable, and no doubt Moses learned a lot of things that the other Hebrew children would never have learned that benefited him in later years. So as Moses grew and became a man, he had a choice to make. He was raised in and influenced by Egyptian culture and his Hebrew faith. And the responsibility of his life's decisions depended upon his personal choice. And the record of Moses identifying with the Hebrews indicated his loyalty to his people and ultimately to the Lord. The personal choices that we make shows us what we will become. Irrespective of a person's background, whether positive or negative, good or bad, there are always choices a person must make. And each person is responsible for his own choices in life. And our daily actions will always betray our loyalties. Now, the account of Moses killing an Egyptian discloses another result of his religious roots. It revealed the fiber of his character. He acted out of the sense of his religious training. Exodus 2, 11 and 12. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, and glancing this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, I think the first thing we learn here is that a godly heritage, such as the one Moses was raised in, teaches justice. Now, words are important. And if you read the account carefully, it says, he, Moses, went out to where his own people were, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Now, Moses at this point was living as an Egyptian, but instinctively he seemed to know who he really was, and he made the choice. His Hebrew training taught him to be tender and compassionate toward his own people, and the sight of injustice moved him to fight for justice on behalf of others. Christian experiences build into people the sense of justice. Seeing injustices and various needs that people have motivates the Christian to respond. But you got to be careful to respond wisely and in love. That's not exactly what Moses did here, and we'll talk about that in a second. The second point I would make here, so a godly heritage teaches justice, but a godly heritage also moves one to act decisively. Now, there's no doubt that Moses was moved by what he saw, and he therefore took decisive action. Moses' heart was right here, but his solution was completely wrong. Murdering the Egyptian was wrong because it was unnecessary. Moses could have protected the slave without resorting to murdering the slave driver. It was also wrong because it wasn't Moses' place to do this. It was an abuse of power. I mean, he was still a private citizen here. He was not an officer of the state administering solemn justice. And it was wrong because it wasn't God's will. At this point in Moses' life, God had not yet called him to lead his people out of Egypt. And it was wrong because it was not God's way. God had not commanded Moses to take up arms against any oppressor, as if he somehow could liberate Israel one Egyptian at a time. Now, later on, of course, God would punish the Egyptians himself, but that's God's business. And that time had not yet come. And truth be told, Moses killing the Egyptian was wrong because murder is always wrong, and Moses knew it. And that's why he tried to make sure he didn't get caught and carefully disposed of the evidence later. I mean, the law that he would later bring down from Mount Sinai was already written on his conscience. Now, there are some situations where killing another human being is not murder. One is self-defense. self-defense against an armed enemy who is intending to kill you or someone else. Another is capital punishment, when it's justly administered by the lawful authorities of a sovereign state. And still another example is the killing of military combatants in a just war. The Westminster Larger Catechism, I think, summarizes by saying that the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, are all taking away the life of ourselves or of others, except in the case of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense. Bottom line is, you can't correct one injustice with another. Moses was wrong in killing that Egyptian. It's just as simple as that. However, providentially, God incorporated Moses' incorrect actions into his larger plan. But as a general statement, let me say that Christians must act decisively. Like, we cannot ignore the immorality of our times. Our heritage teaches us to speak against things like crimes of injustice, the practices of sexual immorality and perversion, and the discriminations of racial prejudice. To act on these kinds of issues requires courage, the courage that is only found in a godly heritage. Now, our heritage also brings rebuff from the world, but our sins don't go unnoticed by God. The account of Moses killing the Egyptian reveals another very interesting result of a religious heritage. His action brought estrangement. Now, let's read a couple of verses here and you'll see what I mean. Exodus 2, 13 to 15. The next day, Moses went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Well, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you did the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, this exchange is really important for a number of reasons, but it shows us basically why the Israelites were in such desperate need of a Savior. Not only did they need to be delivered from Egypt, but these verses indicate that they also needed to be delivered from each other. Moses was absolutely stunned to see that two of his Hebrew brothers were fighting. However, he shouldn't have been surprised that they were beating up each other. I mean, treat a man with violence long enough, and he's going to become a violent man. And after living in such a violent, perverse culture for so long, the Hebrews were being torn apart by that violence. Their bondage was as much spiritual as it was physical. But this incident also shows that Moses was the right man to deliver God's people. He went out to his people, identifying with them in their suffering. He took the side of the victim, intervening to bring peace. He sought justice, accusing the man in the wrong of instigating the violence. Now, again, we turn to Stephen in the book of Acts for more details. Acts 7, verse 26 says, "The next day Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?'" Now, this time, as opposed to what he did yesterday in the story by killing the Egyptian, today he did the right thing. He was trying to reconcile or bring peace to these two Hebrews. Now, Moses probably couldn't believe it when he was unsuccessful. And he also probably was shocked to find that his past, namely his crime, had caught up to him. Well, boy, he shouldn't have been surprised. Your past always catches up to you. And Pharaoh, we learn here, was far, far from sympathetic to Moses' religious roots and actually sought to kill him. The secular world, and sadly, sometimes even the religious world, will never be pleased with any actions from a person of faith. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." It will just happen. To live for God in the world will always rub somebody in the world the wrong way. Now, Moses' action brought suffering. He became fearful. Furthermore, it caused him to flee Egypt for Midian. So Moses was now a fugitive, and he, you know, ran as far as he could into the wilderness of Midian. The path that led Moses from the palace to the wilderness was paved with good intentions. Moses had rejected the privileges of Egypt in order to identify himself with the children of Israel. And the book of Hebrews now tells us something very important. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." One Bible scholar noted this. It's a paragraph. Let me read it to you. Quote, "Bred in a palace, Moses espoused the cause of the people. Nursed in the lap of luxury, he embraced adversity. Reared in the school of despots, he became the champion of liberty. Long associated with oppressors, he took the side of the oppressed. Educated as her son, he forfeited the favor of a princess to maintain the rights of the poor. With a crown in prospect, he had the magnanimity to choose a cross. And for the sake of his God and Israel, he abandoned ease, refinement, luxuries, and the highest earthly honors to be a houseless wanderer." Now, all that is true. All that is absolutely true about Moses. But despite his good intentions, Moses had sinned against God. We have an indication here of his temper, which we will see in a few weeks during the wilderness wanderings. He definitely had a temper. And in this case, his temper led him to committing a murder. Now, as I said earlier, it wasn't Moses' place to kill anybody, even a slave driver. God had not yet called him to lead his people out of bondage. When God did finally deliver Israel from Egypt, he would do it by his own mighty power, for God shares his glory with no one. However noble his motives, Moses sinned by taking matters into his own hands. His way was way, way outside of God's will. And by the time that Moses finished paying for his mistake, he would be an old man of 80 years of age. But God still had a plan for Moses. God was in no way finished with this man. And this shows us that even failures can be God's followers. Even sinners can become his chosen servants. Moses was a man who made some grave mistakes in being ruled by his heart, not his God. But the thing to do with any mistake is to learn from it. And as he fled from Egypt to Midian, the question was whether Moses had learned anything from his futile attempt to save Israel by his own strength. The test came just after he entered the land of Midian. Let's read verses 16 and 17 of Exodus chapter 2. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. Well, this time there was no killing. But Moses delivered these women out of the hands of the bullies and then watered their sheep. Moses was 40 years old, but he was finally starting to grow up. Though few would believe it, God's providence was still working behind the scenes in the life of Moses. No matter what Moses did, God was silently preparing this man for a heroic task during his exile from Egypt. I don't know if Moses realized this or not. He might have, but I kind of doubt that he didn't know. Most of us, we talked about this last week, most of us don't see God's providential hand until after the fact when we look back. But it would be during this period of self-imposed exile and hiding from the Egyptians that God would reveal himself to Moses in a much, much fuller way. And we will talk about that next week. Folks, thank you for listening to the Panic Podcast today. It's always fascinating to study characters in the Bible, and Moses in particular is a very, very interesting character to study and, speculate about. And because we wonder, he was 40 years old. He lived as an Egyptian for 40 years. But when push came to shove, he knew whose side he was on. Moses, a great, great man of God and man of faith, a man who was almost undone by his passions. And in weeks to come, we'll see that, in fact, his famous temper will flare up when he's in the wilderness. But God, in spite of that, God loved Moses, and Moses was a friend of God's. And I think those are really important lessons to learn, that God chooses to use even the most flawed human beings, like Moses, like David, like Paul. God chooses to use flawed human beings. How about Rahab the prostitute? Yeah, God uses flawed human beings to accomplish his purposes on earth. Folks, I hope you have a great day today. I hope that you get on out there and do your best work and share the love of Jesus with people that you meet, and be a blessing to everybody, all right? Come on back on Friday, because Lord willing, we will have another Portrait of Peter. God bless you all, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening.